You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome one and all to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. I need to be very serious as we welcome in Anthony Pusick to the fold here, that we usually have the great EJ Raddick on Mondays. And full disclosure, I usually text him in the morning what time is good for you. And we are taping this at 11:47 Eastern, and I have not heard from him. And it's time to get going. So
I don't want
to
do it now.
We'll hopefully hook up with EJ a little bit later on in the week. It's crazy. The holiday season, everything. Things kind of ass backwards with the schedule and all that, but we're trying to make it work. And hockey's working in some places and it's not in others, Anthony. Let's start with where it's kind of working. You get a little concerned about Igor Shesterkin, get a little concerned about the Rangers after they lost 3 of 4.
Yeah,
and
cut them.
Killed by Toronto and give up 7 goals. And it's, oh my God, the earth is falling apart. But, they get it together. And end up beating the Boston Bruins in a pretty interesting game on Saturday night. So I guess all's well in Rangerland for you.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, you've got David Pastrnak and the hit on Lindgren and the exception that everybody took to that hit, which was a bad hit. But, you know, you can't call yourself Pasta when Vincent Trocheck is around, because then he's going to get upset. Because he's Italian, and then he scores the game tying goal, and he scores the game winning goal in a game that the Rangers had to have for multiple reasons. As you pointed out, they've been struggling. It was a good game for Shesterkin. The Bruins only had 22 shots on goal, but he looked pretty good. The one goal he gave up, I do believe was a goal. I didn't think they would have won the challenge had they did challenge it, and they did. But the penalty kills for both teams actually pretty great. I mean, Trocheck scored in the third, but it was much different from the first game these two teams played. And I think it speaks to the fact that if the Rangers can find ways to win multiple ways against good teams like the Bruins, they're going to be in good shape. You want to build off of it, but I said on Friday they needed to get at least 3 points out of the weekend. They got 4. Yeah. So and very impressive.
You know, and then you say, all right, well, they beat the Ducks, but then the Ducks turn around and beat the Devils last night 5-1. The thing that I took from that game is I just couldn't believe that Adam Henrique never had a hat trick.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising.
And then he gets it against his old team, which is fitting. You know, I think we can't treat this like football, where you live and die with every game. There are going to be stinkers. There are going to be moments where, you know, your team's just not there. So don't try to figure it out too much. Play the whole game of, well, this team beat that team, so that means this team will beat that team. It's everybody's schedule is different. Everybody's got their injuries they have to deal with. And you're just going to have to live with sometimes your team's not going to show up, you know. And you see that with Colorado. Like, 1 minute they're like, how the hell did they lose that game? And then they turn around and they'll rattle off 5 in a row. Dallas is kind of the same way. It seems like they either win 6-1 or lose 6-1. It's crazy. I think there's a lot of teams, and I put the Rangers in this category as well, that they know they're good. They know they're a playoff team, and to expect them to be completely engaged every single night's not just going to happen. Isn't going to happen. But like with a team with the Devils or the Islanders, they really can't afford to have it happen, because I don't know for a fact that they're playoff teams. I don't know for a fact that they're good. I think it's all a work in progress. So when I see the Islanders struggle at times, like they did the other night, and you kind of scratch your head, and then they rattle off 4 in a row, and you're like, everything's okay. Same with the Devils. They had a great Western swing. I'm sorry, you can't lose to the Ducks are on a long road trip. They're the worst team in the Pacific Division. They got passed by the San Jose Sharks. So I'll give the Rangers and the Bruins and the Vegas Golden Knights and the Avalanche and the Stars their pass on given nights. I don't know if I'm willing to give it to the Devils for last night. I think that's a bad loss.
No, it is a bad loss. And I think that we are conditioned now, and it's only was 1 year, but the Bruins were so dominant last year in the regular season, and they were far and away the best team probably from the second week of the season on, and there really was no competition to them, that we just think that happens in this league. And as we know, Don, and we watch it more than anybody, it doesn't happen all that often. There's probably, in our top five, like we always have, like there's probably 5 to 7 teams that can rotate within the top five within the next month or so, and they're going to have lulls. The Bruins are 5-3-2 in their last 10. The Rangers are 6-4-0 in their last 10. Colorado leading the Central 4-4-2. Dallas, as you pointed out, 5-3-2. There's nobody that's running away with anything anymore in any of these divisions. And like you said, for a team like the Devils, who got off to a bad start, and yes, there were injuries, and with Heischer and Hughes, they look so much better, but you can't be losing 5-1 to the Ducks. And I know that I've said at least, that I like this Ducks team. I think that they're kind of fun. They're 2-8-0 in their last 10. They have not been playing good hockey.
Right.
And that's a game where not only you lose pretty bad on home ice against a former Devil, kind of doing all the dirty work. Alex Killorn has 4 goals for that team now. That's a guy who needs to get going for the Ducks, but, you know, that's a bad loss. And again, it's the defense and the goaltending that's really keeping the Devils from being one of the top teams.
Yeah, and one of those teams that I'm not really sure how I feel about on any given night is Toronto. And yeah, they've been just, you know, they put up the 7 spot against the Rangers, score, you know, 7 against Pittsburgh. We'll get to the Penguins in a moment, but are you ready? They're sitting there 5 points back of Boston with a game in hand, plus 16 goal differential, among the best in the Eastern Conference. It's actually sitting just 5 goals less than Boston. I mean, are you ready to put them as an elite team, as a cup contender, or do you still need to see more?
I'm ready to put them up there just because, like I said, I think they're one of the 5 to 7 I think you rotate in and say on any given week they're one of the top 5 teams in hockey. Consistently inconsistent, I guess you could say that. 6-1-3 in their last 10, they're one of the best teams within the last 10 games in the National Hockey League. But yeah, I'd say that, first of all, with the offense, the firepower that they have, how can you not think they're a cup contender? It all comes down once again for them to the goaltending. Are they going to get the goaltending and the defense consistently on any given night? I would put Boston ahead of them, Vegas ahead of them, the Rangers ahead of them, even Vancouver, who've had their issues defending this year and lost to the Wild in a shootout on Saturday night. Yeah, I think you have to say in the East they're a contender.
Yeah, and how about Raanta clears waivers, sent down to the A. So here is the Carolina Hurricanes, who I have as my cup winner,
yeah,
right? And a perennial top of the Metropolitan Division, now find themselves poor goaltending. You know, Aho was hurt, and, you know, he's come back and he's played well. But where do we put them right now as a team that we know is good? We've seen them be good, but, you know, right now there's a lot of work to do for them to be able to get up there in a very competitive, not just Metropolitan Division, but Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think they're a wild card team at best at the moment. That's the way they're playing. Their defense is not as good as it's been in years past. They've given up 100 goals this season. Very uncharacteristic for a Rod Brind'Amour-led team. Raanta, as you said, cleared waivers because he has not been playing well. So they're gonna have to find it here. Raanta may have to find himself. I mean, we saw it with Devin Levy, who got sent down to the minors and has been great since being called back up for Buffalo. Maybe a reset for Raanta is a good thing. Get a little bit more. Get your confidence back. Get your confidence back in a lesser league or a league with less talented players, where you can kind of establish yourself again and see what happens. I mean, losing 2-0 to the Caps in a shootout isn't bad. That's a good defensive game. But Aho scores in the second, and that's it. They're not as deep as they've been in years past, or at least the depth hasn't been there for them like it has been. And I don't like their defense. I don't think their defense is very deep, and that's been a problem for them this year.
Yeah, Aho's only missed 3 games, but he's their best player. He's got their most goals.
Yeah,
he's
no
got
question.
Their most assists. He's got obviously their most points. So more from Natchez. You know, losing not just Aho for those 3 games, Svechnikov being out too is killing them.
Oh yeah,
you know. So let's. But everybody's got their injuries, right? Everybody's, you know, the Rangers have played without Hedl pretty much all season long. They've now been out without Kako for a while. They lost Fox for 10 games, and, you know, so boo hoo. Like, nobody's going to feel bad for you, as you just mentioned, Heischer and Hughes missing time with the Devils. So you're going to have to fight through it. It's just that they don't have that stud offensive
Correct.
Player. They're a team that really works with depth, and there are some of their parts. So you lose one of those pieces for any length of time, it's going to kill them. And then if you're not getting the great goaltending, that's why you find yourself being 16-12-3. And you know, on the outside looking in of the division, the top of the division, now they still have the first wild card. The Capitals are kind of creeping up on them, but here's their problem. They played 31 games, Anthony. So Washington's got 3 games in hand. Detroit's got a game in hand. The Devils have 2 games in hand on them. So they're holding on to a playoff spot, but in a couple of days they could be third or fourth in the wild card.
Yeah, they just simply have to play better, and you nailed it, Don. I think Aho can be a star. I think he's a very good player. Svechnikov as well, but you've pointed it out. Look at the teams that are ahead of them in the standings. You're taking a look at a team like the Rangers. Do they have a star? I think you could say Artemi Panarin is a star, no question about it. Philly's kind of built like Carolina, but they've got the goaltending this year. They've only given up 79 goals, and Carter Hart's played very well.
Yes.
We know the Islanders have Matt Barzal, but I don't know if he's at the echelon of Panarin or any of those guys. Boston, we know they have Marchand. The Maple Leafs, you can name three guys, Marner, Nylander, Matthews. The Panthers have Kachuk and Barkov and others. This is a team, as you said, relying on depth. And if the depth gets hurt or the depth is not producing at the way that they're expected to, you're going to have a season like this. And the East is pretty good this year. We had the Islanders dead in the East, and they are now one of the top three in the Metro, ahead of the Hurricanes with a game in hand.
Right.
We've talked about the Capitals, but as you said, they're only a point behind them and three less games played. So all they need to do is win one of those games, and they're ahead of them. I like Detroit. I think Detroit's very good. Dylan Larkin supposedly back in the lineup tonight for them. That's a big piece for them. That's a star, in my opinion, for that team. And with Hughes and Heesch, you're now healthy. They're only 2 points behind Carolina. You need your entire team to play well if you're Carolina. I think Brendan Moore's a great coach. I don't think that there's anything more he could do other than coach them up the way he normally does. It's just the players that have to perform.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Islanders. They had that tough loss against Boston, that back and forth on Friday. They eventually lose in overtime. Boston just will not go away.
What did you think of the penalty?
Yeah, I know it was kind of borderline.
Lambert didn't like it, obviously.
No, I know. I know. And it just, it's just one of those things, right? I mean, I got to see a lot of it because they were a half hour after the Rangers. Like, they had the 7:30 start. The Rangers had the 7 o'clock start. So I was on top of it. It's frustrating. I get it. I understand the frustration of it. But, you know, you give, well, all that firepower, Geeky's the one that gets two goals on you and you can't hold the lead. And, but it was a good point to get considering that it's against one of the best teams in the NHL. But then you don't accept it because then less than 24 hours later, you go up to Montreal and you lay an egg. And you're down 3-0 in the blink of an eye and lose the game 5-3. So that's not a game. You don't want to walk away from those back-to-back games at 1 point. And then you, like a Rangers, you would take the 3 and they end up getting 4.
By the way, I forgot Pastrnak in my stars, by the way. My apology. He's a star as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Now, you look at that's a tough turnaround for Boston. You say, well, the Rangers have the Rangers played at 7 o'clock, finished off the Ducks rather easily. The Bruins were at 7:30, had to go into the shootout. And so it was a longer game. They probably got into Boston a little bit later, and the Rangers were able to take advantage of it. But Vincent Trocheck is such an underrated player for them. So the Rangers are looking great. Islanders are still in pretty good shape. We'll see what happens with the Devils as far as locally is concerned. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk about this at all. I was talking to Greg Wyshynski at Madison Square Garden last Tuesday, and he was telling me about it, the Connor McDavid-led skills competition.
He wouldn't talk to you on email, though. That's it.
What do you mean?
Remember they took you off the email?
Oh, that was just a whole misunderstanding.
I understand completely.
Good.
And by that, I mean,
actually straightened it out for me. In case you missed it, ESPN wasn't
emailing
me.
See, that's a good guy.
But Greg was able to straighten that out. But so Connor McDavid came up with the idea. It's 12 skaters competing in the skills competition in eight different categories. Each player will compete in 4 of the first 6 events that are listed, which is the fastest skater, hardest shot, stick handling, one timer, passing challenge, and the accuracy. The other two are the shootout and the obstacle course. So these 12 players will get a chance to compete for $1 million.
It's pretty cool.
Connor McDavid's idea. It's cool. Here's what I like about it. All right. It seemed like it was a mob scene during the skills competition. You had so many different players, some players that were not invited to the All-Star game that would come to the skills competition. It just seemed like a mob scene. You're taking 12 players, so it's kind of easy to follow. Maybe it takes some teams out of it, but you're going to recognize all of these players. They're all going to be involved. I don't know if it does anything for, millionaires winning $1 million. You know, it's like the kind of the same thing with the in-season tournament. Oh, do you realize that each player on the winning team is going to get $500,000? All right, well, the milkman making $60,000 doesn't care that a millionaire is going to make $500,000. I don't think anybody's going to care that, Connor McDavid may win $1 million.
But maybe the players do.
But that's why, and the same thing with the in-season tournament. It's not to make the game more attractive for the fan. It's wanting to get players to participate in it. Now, I don't think the NHL had a participation problem with their skills competition, unlike nobody wanting to play in the slam dunk competition in the NBA.
No, you're right.
But I just think it does create a very positive, competitive atmosphere where there's a lot on the line for these players. So it's not going to be a mail-in for them. They're really going to go at it, and it's going to be fun. Again, I don't know if any of this is fixable, Anthony. The All-Star game, the skills competition. I mean, you're trying to kind of paint a turd in a lot of ways, too, right? I mean, it is what it is. But I do like the fact, A, the NHL, maybe more than any other sport, is willing to try to improve on their NHL weekend, in their All-Star weekend, and also the fact that they get the players involved. I mean, this is Connor McDavid, the face of the NHL, coming up with the idea. So I think that's probably the biggest point, is that that's how you're going to get people engaged in things, that this is what, hey, what do the players want? Well, one of the players came up with this idea, and he's the best player in the NHL to boot, so let's do it.
Well, when I grew up watching the skills comp, I was most excited to watch Chara, because it seemed like every time that he did it, the hardest shot, that is, he would break the record for the hardest shot ever recorded. And that was exciting. And then when Chara couldn't do it anymore, when he got a little older and he wasn't hitting the puck as hard as he used to, it took away from it a little bit, because you're like, wow, like, I remember when Chara would hit 110 and these guys are barely hitting 103. And this is like Ovechkin and Subban and Yossi, guys that, like, you know, really can smash the puck. I kind of like this. It says it's going to be 12 NHL All-Stars. So, Don, if you'll indulge me here, who... Now, we don't know the All-Stars yet. Can we name, in our opinion, the top 12 players in the NHL? Because think about it. Like, I know it's McDavid's idea, and I'm not saying he's going to be in it every year, but let's face it. There's a good to fair chance, more often than not, that Connor McDavid's going to be in the All-Star game every year. So let's say that, obviously, in the inaugural year, and he's going to make the All-Star team. We got McDavid, right?
Yes, we have
McDavid. So that's one of the 12.
Yes.
Draisaitl, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So Dr. Dre. He's there as well.
Yes. Matthews.
Matthews.
Jack Hughes. Those. I would think those four definitely.
Okay. And Hughes. I think we have to put Pastrnak in there.
Pastrnak should go.
Okay.
And Nathan MacKinnon should go.
MacKinnon should go. Okay. Here's where we're going to get tricky.
Okay.
Do you put Panarin?
No.
Okay, no Panarin. We got to get somebody on. Now, remember, this is All-Star, right?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily going to be the best 12 players in the National Hockey League, but more often than not, they do make the All-Star team, yada, yada, yada. I think we have to put one of the Canucks in there. One of them has to represent one of the best offense in the National Hockey League. Is it Quinn to add to the brother-brother thing? Or are we going with Pettersson? Are we going with Miller? Let's table it then.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to want some defenseman in there, right?
You have to have one.
To be a forward. So
Or are they going to go Cale
Hughes
McCarr?
Get in because he's a defenseman.
Well, it's either Quinn Hughes or Cale McCarr, right?
Well, I was going to say Cale McCarr has got to go too, but you could probably want more than one. I would think
let's put McCarr.
McCarr and Hughes have to go.
Let's go with Quinn Hughes.
All right,
let's do that. That's eight, right?
That's eight.
All right,
so who we...
See, this is what we do, folks. We workshop this on the fly. Told Don.
This is what makes this. I find this to be fun.
I think it's
fun to be able to do this. All right.
Does a Panther get there?
Say again.
Does a Panther get there? Is Tkachuk
not having a great year?
No.
Per se, statistically,
I don't disagree. Let's go to the West. The West. I always miss. Not that I always miss the West.
West is interesting. So, all right. So you got, like, you look at the top
Vegas.
Teams,
there's
got
to be a Vegas.
There's got to be a Golden Knight.
Eichel.
Sure, he's got points in 10 straight games, right?
All right.
So he's actually playing well.
Let's go with Eichel.
Let's get Eichel in there. got to have the Stanley Cup champion and the best team in the NHL this year
represented.
Yeah, be represented.
Of course.
Now, do you want to go old school to have Sidney Crosby there? He's having a great year.
You know what? That's who I forgot. I would think they'd want him yes. in it, especially the inaugural, because that's where it's going to get tricky, right?
Because first of all, he's having a great. We wouldn't be gifting it to him. They're not a great team. They're a mess. But he's having a phenomenal year.
Crosby, Kucherov has to be there. Point leader. No?
Yes.
So we got Kucherov. Here's something that I think would do.
What is that, 10 now?
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's only one more spot. Hear me out on this, Don. And I know that people might roll their eyes, but MLB, who do you think I'm going to say?
Ovechkin?
No.
Oh.
Good point, though. Ooh. And this is where it might get tricky, where they might actually have to leave somebody out that I think should make it.
Okay.
You're going to probably want a legend, right? So this is what they're going to do. Wherever it is, you have to have hometown representation. And we have that with Austin Matthews this year, and he should be there anyway. But every year, there's going to be somebody from the hometown team, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be one veteran, soon-to-be-retired guy that goes in, and this could be your last All-Star game, and this could be your final hurrah, like they're doing with baseball now, where they're putting in an All-Star from both the AL and the NL.
Right.
That's like, you know what? You probably didn't have the greatest season, but let's, on the national stage, give you the send-off that you deserve, which is what they did with Pujols and Cabrera.
Right.
I think there has to be a rookie. And I think they're going to put Connor Bedard in this year.
Yes. I don't disagree with
that. So you mean to tell me that you wouldn't watch... Now, this is something, Don, I know you're out. Not that you're out, but it's not something that you glue yourself to the television you absolutely have to watch. You'll catch the highlights, even though ESPN did a fantastic job last year. Yeah. And we did watch, you and I. McDavid, Draisaitl, Matthews, Jack Hughes, Pastrnak, McKinnon, McCarr, Quinn Hughes, Jack Eichel, Sidney Crosby, Nikita Kucherov, Connor Bedard. You don't watch that All-Star Skills Challenge?
No, you're going to watch it.
That's pretty awesome.
All right, now the one complaint could be, well, you know, do you really need to have two Oilers? Do you want to make sure that the 12 teams are represented instead of just 11? But I don't know how you take Draisaitl out, and I really don't know who we've left out.
Maybe Panarin. You could say maybe Mikko Rantanen, but it goes back to you know what? We've already got McKinnon, so we're trying to keep it even here.
Well, you know, you just go through the teams. Is there a Flyer? Is there an Islander?
Again, we're talking about those guys that don't have the stars, but they have a good overall team.
And I just sometimes don't think Ovechkin deserves to go. He's only got 5 goals. Steven Stamkos being left out, but we already have Kucherov.
If we go with what I said of this could be the last year thing, and they do a guy that knows this is his last year and he made the All-Star team, and they throw that in there, that's where I think we'll get you're not getting the top 12 players. And again, these guys may not want to do it every year. But it's impressive that we're fighting on this, Don, that there's enough talent in this league where we could say, I think that there would be more than 12 players that people will want to see. And I think showcasing the younger guys is important, too, for the newer fans that are just getting into the sport.
Well, let's just say this, that it's up for debate. So we'll be back with you on Wednesday if you want to discuss who should go, who should not go, and all that stuff. But let's close it out with some social media. I did not know if we were going to do this because I literally sent this out like 20 minutes ago, and I can't believe the reaction we got so quickly. So thank you to all the people out there listening. It does not take long for you to be able to participate. Tony says, thoughts on NHL going back to white sweaters at home? It was so sweet seeing the Rangers in blue in Boston Saturday night. I am so with you. I know they wanted to kind of honor the tradition of the NHL when they originally did it like 20 years ago, because that's the way sweaters were back in the 40s and 50s, that you wore the darker jerseys at home. But all you end up seeing is white jerseys at home, right? So when you go to the Garden or you go to see your favorite team play, all you're going to see is white jerseys from the other team. But don't you want to see, like, when the Rangers come to town, the blue. When the Blackhawks come to town, it's the red. You know, I wish they would go back to it.
Hard sell with the third jerseys, because then are you wearing the thirds on the road? I guess you can. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong.
Rangers 2-0 in the new jerseys, by the way.
But you can have special nights where, okay, we're using the third jersey, and so we're going to wear a darker jersey at home. But traditionally, just say that when you're not wearing a third jersey, what, the Rangers 10 times are going to be wearing that jersey. So that leaves 31 other home games that they could be wearing their whites. And I would like to go back to it.
Look, to me, it's
got to put it in the binder, Anthony.
Certainly not important enough for me to fight. If people want it, and a lot of people want it, I have no issue with it. Absolutely. That's fine.
Jimmy Berger says Carolina has been entirely average this season through 31 games. And they have an even goal differential to prove it. At what point do you want to start? We start to wonder if this is what they are. They have talent, but do we see them turning it around? Because I think they are very, very talented. But I tell you what, I don't feel good about them winning. Like, I really thought this was going to be the year they were going to take the step forward. Past the quarter pole, they've taken a step back. So I don't know. Will they make a deal? Will they figure something out goaltending-wise? I think they're outstandingly well-coached, but I don't feel great about my pick that they're coming out of the Eastern Conference. I'm not going to completely give up on it, but I think they're kind of showing you that they're not a cup contender through 31 games. I think that's for sure.
Well, look, I've seen the top part of Kevin Weeks' head on my timeline very often recently.
Right.
And that can only mean one thing. He's hearing things, and when Kevin's hearing things, I think he's one of the best NHL insiders that there is, and luckily he's at our company. The goalie market, he said, is going to start turning into a carousel, and there will be moves. I think the Ranta send down kind of indicates that. I believe the Kings put somebody on LTIR, Phoenix Copley.
Yeah.
So they're going to, and to him, to Weeks, and then he just tweeted this an hour ago, said that they're going to probably be looking for a number three type goalie. Now, that's not a big move, but once goalies start moving, more things start happening. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to make a move. If Carolina believes they're just a goalie away, I also think their defense needs some help. Tony D'Angelo, his pairing has not been good this year with whoever he's been paired with. And I trust that Rob Brind'Amour is a good enough coach where he can kind of coach that up and fix it. But you can't fix bad goaltending. You could ask the Maple Leafs and the Oilers about that.
It's going to burn you.
So.
It's going to burn you. And then the Rangers sit with a backup goaltender 9-0-1. But I don't think he's going to be going anywhere. But Louis Domingue might end up someplace the way things are going. So there's going to be definitely some goalie movement. To that end, Anthony says, can the Devils really be a true cup contender this year if their defense and goaltending tandem? No. There's a lot of reasons why I don't think they're a cup contender. Now, we've got a long way to go. We're still only in the middle of December. But they don't have the goaltending. They don't have the defense. They don't play consistent enough. They're an outstanding team that can score with the best of them, and they might be one of the more entertaining teams to watch. They're not a cup contender, Anthony.
I think Anthony, and it's a great name, knows the answer to that question. If you don't have the goaltending and you don't have the defense, it's very, very hard to win a Stanley Cup. I can't think of the last team that I wasn't all in on their both defense and goaltending. I know within the last couple of years, we've had goaltenders who you wouldn't consider to be top goaltenders, although Aiden Hill looks like he is this year.
Yeah.
And that was his coming out party. We've seen Colorado and Kemper. That was his name was escaping me. I don't think anybody's calling Darcy Kemper a top 10 goaltender in the National Hockey League, and they managed to win. But they had Cale Makar and a really, really good defense.
Very good.
You need to have one or the other, and having both is great. Not having either, you're not going to win a cup.
Jacob says, with 2023 coming to a close, what are the three teams that should be the most concerned about missing the playoffs? Well, I didn't have them as a playoff team to begin with, but I think Pittsburgh is in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
Making the playoffs. So I would say that they're not going to make it. I'm assuming you're talking about teams that you thought were playoff teams that may not make it. Well, I think that there's concern about the Devils. I think they'll make it, but, you know, we're 29 games in. They're outside. I think Tampa's going to figure it out, Anthony. But
yeah,
you
know,
they've got the most games played, 32, 33 points. They're only a point out of a playoff spot, but everybody's got games in hand on them. And Vasilevsky has come back, so there's really no injury excuses.
I think Calgary has to be concerned in the West, in my opinion.
Are you out of the woods? I mean, like I said, Edmonton had their winning streak snap. They're playing better, but still.
They're 8-2 in their last 10, and they're still 5 points out. That's how bad they were.
Back.
That's how bad they were. Remember, they had as many wins as the Sharks in regulation at one point, which is crazy to think about.
But Edmonton's in good shape because they've got two games in hand on Arizona, the second wild card. They got three games in hand on Nashville, the first wild card. Minnesota got a spurt with the coaching change, but I don't think they're making it. So we gave you more than three, but I think there's a few teams that are in a bit of trouble. This is an interesting one from AZ Ranger. Hey, guys, I know this may not be a popular opinion, but I think that Hedl should consider retiring. The hit that gave him the latest concussion was barely anything at all, and it looked like the opponent got the worst of it. What are your thoughts? Well, I don't know with concussions. All I know is he doesn't seem like he's close. He's skating on his own. But this is a long time out, Anthony. Listen, I'm not going to sit there and say he needs to retire, but I'm concerned about A, when he's going to come back, and B, when he does come back, how long before he gets hit again, and then he's on the shelf. So I would have major concerns about Filip Hedl's future with the Rangers and the NHL period.
Well, look, Larry Brooks said it, I think, probably a week after it happened, that it was probably another concussion. I think it's his fourth or third within the last 2 to 3 years. Look, we saw a promising young defenseman in Michael Sauer on the Rangers years ago. Get hit by Dion Phaneuf and his career was over. And I thought he was going to be a staple of that defense for years to come with how good he played in his young career. It's certainly scary. I think that's why you're not hearing so much from him or about him. I think the Rangers are playing this exactly the right way, being as careful as they can with a young player with consistent head injuries now. I can't say, I'm not a doctor, as you pointed out also, Don, but I do play one on TV, that we can say he has to retire. But I think that has to be something that's being considered since he's just skating on his own, not taking any contact. I think they're being really careful with this, as they should.
Yeah, I get it. It just doesn't feel good. And when he does come back, you will wonder, all right, when's the next hit going to be? And listen, we've seen players recover from concussions, right? I mean, Daniel Briere was able to put together a career after he suffered a lot of concussions early. Same with Sidney Crosby. He had concussions early, was able to overcome it. So there have been a lot of players that have been able to overcome it, and some haven't. You know, we've seen careers come to end. You know, Brett Lindros is one that comes to mind. There's a lot of players. Patrick Stefan, another one that never seemed to be able to recover. And had their careers cut short. So there's examples on both sides. Let's wait and see. But to just blanketly say he should retire, I won't go as far as that. But to be majorly concerned about it, I'm sure the Rangers are, and I think every one of their fans need to be.
Agreed.
And I think let's close out with one more. What do you say?
Why not?
James says, hey, Don, the Islanders keep blowing third period leads, even though they are in good shape standing-wise in the Metro. They are giving extra points away. Will Lou make a change at head coach?
Sir, if he didn't do it before, he's certainly not doing it now. They're playing much better.
Again, we talked about this earlier in the season, right, Anthony, that if Lou doesn't make a change, it speaks volumes to what he thinks this team is capable of doing. And to me, I think Lou is looking at this and saying, I don't think this is a coaching problem. I think this is a talent problem. Now, talent also falls in his ballywick to make it better, but there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of things that franchise can do at this particular point. But if Lou thinks there's a trade, he'll make one. If he thinks a coaching change is necessary, he'll make one. He won three cups in Jersey with three different head coaches. He fired a coach with 8 games left in the regular season, and Robbie Fatorik replaced him with Larry Robinson, won a Stanley Cup. So he will have no problem making a change at coach. The longer he goes without one, he is telling you that he thinks the coaching is good enough. So right now we're way past the quarter pole. They're sitting in second place in the Metropolitan Division. I don't think Lane Lambert is on the hot seat. Now that could change in a week or two, you know, if they lose a bunch of games and fall out of it, but you know, we talked about it earlier that they were way out of it and no coaching change was made. And that would have been an easy thing to do when the fans were chanting for it. But trust in Lou when it comes to that stuff. He kind of knows what he's doing with the coaches, and I have a feeling he's going to stick with Lambert for a little while longer.
Yeah, I mean, he's essentially been proven right by, we were questioning whether or not they needed to make a change, and they've kind of turned it around, seemingly doing nothing. It's not like they made a drastic move.
No, they are what they are. They're a nice team.
Right.
They're nice, but nice teams don't win cups. Nice teams kind of bounce from second in their division down to like the fifth wild card. That's kind of what nice teams do.
Yeah.
You know, nice teams have nice weeks, and nice teams have bad weeks. Now, we'll see if this loss to Boston, blowing another third period lead, and the no-show in Montreal is the start of another swoon. you know, that'll drop them out of the playoffs. So we'll keep an eye on that. Right now, I would think, especially getting closer to the holidays here, that nothing will happen with, I think, any coaching changes, but specifically with the Islanders until we get deeper into January. All right, this was fun. I did during the podcast hear from EJ. He says I can do it now. But we moved on. So maybe we'll have EJ on Wednesday. I sent
a text troubling.
To see if we can do that. But all's good. Anthony and I had it handled. And thanks for everybody chiming in at late notice with the social media. We really appreciate that. At Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag game misconduct is the way that we do that. So let's try this again on Wednesday, Anthony.
Let's do it, Don.
All right. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.